Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Know someone whose quiet hard work makes hockey happen in your community? Nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back in studio, Boomer and Warner in the morning, the artist of the day. Judas Priest.
Breaking the law.
This has got to be a first.
No, we've done them. I think we've done them once before.
Must have been on vacation.
Right. I heard some Priest on the weekend. I'm like, yeah, there's one.
I thought maybe it was from that bar by the beach. That there was about half hour of good music.
They
the whole week.
There was. It seemed like at the resort, they just had a loop of songs that would go at the one place where you go for breakfast. It was always the same. It was like "You Are Not Alone" by Michael Jackson, right into the Titanic song from Celine Dion, into some other syrupy ballad. It's like, oh, jeez. But if you went down by the beach bar, it was some decent rock and roll. We sat down, a little Guns N' Roses, got some Led Zeppelin on there at one point. Yeah, it was good. It was,
position A.
Yep. For sure.
And it was kind of a Pavlovian thing because we had about six drinks in 9 minutes.
Wow.
You want another couple? Yes.
Oh, rojo.
The oh, rojo.
But that would have set you back a lot of dough, all that drinking.
We were tame. It was not a big boozy week, although apparently the flight home got a little boozy for one of us, knowing that
really?
He was... I had six rye on the flight home.
Those little bottles are deceptive. There's way more than an ounce in there.
Well, you're you upgrade to first class, they're bringing them by, what are you going to do, say no?
I paid for them.
Yeah. But it's, we're back, good to be back. If you were going to give a review of the week, what would you say?
I was great. The rest of the scrubs were average. Is that fair?
I'm trying to. It was okay. There's that many. 35 people went on the flight.
There was people coming home that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, I.
Oh, you were with us.
Oh,
okay.
Who are you?
Yeah. And you start getting the nicknames because I can't remember names. You get the nicknames for the guys. Well, oh, so that's Coach.
Coach is great.
And that's...
Jerry!
That's Jerry. We like Jerry.
Jerry was awesome.
Jerry was great. And then, there was Drinksy Pants, who shouted at the bride going down the aisle.
Nice ace.
Can you imagine?
That's people are like, that's not a true story. I wish it was an exaggeration.
That's phenomenal.
So when I heard it, I'm like, oh, so did he say something witty? Like,
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's not going to show.
Ace.
What?
Goodness. That Veronica Vaughn.
Yeah. One piece of ace. But thanks to everybody that came along. Obviously bought their tickets, hopped on the flight. Thanks to Marlin Travel.
I'll say this again. I'm in.
Yeah.
You want to do it again?
So that wasn't too stressful for you?
I'll be
going
there.
Down to the tropics for a week and getting paid? That wasn't too hard on you?
It's emotionally tough, you know, being away from the kids and having to work through all the ups and downs of outdoor life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the unknowns. You can't control the weather, right?
Sacrifices you make for your job.
We saw the odd iguana. You need to really be careful because they'll take you down.
Yeah.
Right? And there's talk that it might, who knows? I would believe that there might be a 2.0 next season.
Good.
And it may not even be necessarily Mexico. Might be a hot destination of any kind that we could be looking at. So that's... I'm
Bali!
Yeah, Marlin Travel, thanks for setting us up, being gracious hosts. Gabrielle was, you know...
Glug, 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 glug.
Yeah, a little drinky.
When she was...
Dancing. All she wanted to do was dance.
When she was dancing less, she was very helpful.
That's right. Did you get a chance to watch the Flames game Saturday night?
Do you want my honest?
Yes. Honesty is what you're paying for.
I was watching it, but I couldn't keep it on.
Yeah.
And I hate saying that because it's no good, but there was a lot of flipping.
It was a flippy kind of night because there was actually three other night games, and this one was not very competitive.
No. And I was thinking, well, you got to watch it. And it's like, I can watch it all I want, and I can criticize everyone I want because there's no one on the team that doesn't deserve to be ripped. But what, are we going to break down an individual play? Because there's not one.
No.
It's not one. It's... You were average in Phoenix, and you were no good in San Jose.
Their top line had zero shots for 40 minutes in San Jose.
And so let's go back here. So they beat Jersey in a good game. They played very well against Chicago and three dogs.
Yeah, I don't know if the zoning game was a dog, but I hear what you're saying. It wasn't, okay. It wasn't great.
Two
right?
and a half dogs.
Yeah, sure.
I mean... If it wasn't a dog, then you should have won. You should have went out and won that game somehow in Arizona. And then you've got, chance at three. Whatever. It frustrates me to no end because what are you going to break down on that? If you're not going to work hard, there's no start.
Yeah.
There's no start as to, okay, well, if we can, and you've said it, the power play penalty kill, special teams, no good.
Ooh.
Well, if the effort was there. You might say, man, if we could just get a power play goal and work on our kill, we're going to start winning some games. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's not coming. The effort's not there. The interest isn't there.
For the record, Sharks had two power plays. They scored on both.
5-on-3, then 5-on-4. Same sequence.
Flames had three power plays, did not score.
They are now 29th in the league on the power play, 13.4%. And far and away the worst penalty killing in the league, 70%.
70%.
And it's not even close to 29th. 29th is 74%. And everyone's sort of jammed in within a half percentage of each other the whole way up. They're 4% worse than the second worst in the league. And if you need them, it's a league high 86 goals they've allowed. That's 31 more than they've scored.
That minus 31 is dead last. Their penalty kill is dead last. Their power play is 29th, and their goals against per game, not surprisingly, is also dead last.
Yeah.
This was a great, and we've talked about it. It's just a different way of looking at it. You've talked about their regulation wins. I like the way that Scott Cruickshank put it in the paper this morning. The Flames have played 24 times. Opponents have failed to pick up at least a point in just three.
Yeah. On the road, they have one game where the opponents didn't get points, a point at least, and that was in Edmonton where they blew three two-goal leads and needed a bank shot from behind the goal line in the last 10 seconds to win the
Devils. They beat the Devils 3-2. They beat the Penguins 5-2 in that Oiler game where they got that late goal. So 24 games, they've given up points in 21 of them.
Not a tough team to play, are they?
Think about that.
If they're on your schedule last year, you're like, ugh. These guys are going to dog us. They won't go away. They're scrappy. Even if we're up, we can't sleep on these guys. It's the exact opposite this year. You would want no team on your schedule more than the Calgary Flames right now. They're giving up points all over. And do they make your life difficult, Red?
Not in any way.
So listen.
Go ahead.
Final thought. Go ahead.
Well, what we applauded and praised them for over the last 2 years is completely out the door. The hard work, the commitment, the effort, that's what's frustrating.
So here we are. We're all here together, face-to-face in this room, although we can't really see Bill, but he's there.
Hi, Bill.
The Flames, if you go to the statistical page, or at least the standings page, you'll find the Calgary Flames 18 points. That is tied with the Oilers for dead last.
They got one more row win, keeping them in 29th, not 30th. That is it.
But identical records of 8-14-2 for 18 points. It is not American Thanksgiving. It is after American Thanksgiving, and tomorrow will be December 1st.
Ooh.
The Calgary Flames are not making the playoffs this year. And I think we can all agree it was about 2 years ago when we were talking about the RB. To me, some will say, no kidding. But as of December 1st, the rebuild is back on.
Full RB mode.
Full 100% rebuild back on. This is a team that needs to look at a top five pick. They need to maximize assets on expiring contracts. They need to trade whomever they can, whether it's one of the two goalies, Dennis Wiedemann, whomever is a veteran more or less on this team. It is now full-blown rebuild this season. Play the youngster. It's a year of development. It's a year of education. And it's a year where you need to have top three. You need to be in the have a strong lottery shot at winning that first overall pick.
So next, I'll give it a couple days. How many games did Ordeo play?
Over the two.
Week? So today, one of those goalies waivers, bring him back up and put him in?
Here's the problem. I agree that that's the logical thing to do, Boom. I don't know that this management team and this coach has given up on it. Obviously, the room, you always have hope, but I think they're going to want to let this play out longer. And I don't think they should, but I think that's human nature.
Here's the only ray of light that I will give you.
Okay.
Even last year, as they were going for a playoff spot, they were in a playoff position. They traded Curtis Glenn Cross. Why? Because it was the smart thing to do. You weren't going to re-sign him. He wasn't a big part of what was going on. You got draft picks for him. And that was when you were in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And I agree. They're not going to come out and say, you know what, Boom? I can't believe you brought that up today because we were thinking the same thing. We're definitely throwing it in. They can't tell you that. Bob Hartley will never tell you that because it's his job to win. It's not his job to get a first overall pick or to trade away marketable assets. But Brad Treliving, if you were to sit him down with truth serum and off the record, he will tell you the same thing. That as much as you want to continue to give this team a chance, they will play Dallas, one of the top teams in the league tomorrow. That will be their 25th game of the season. They're not a playoff team. They enjoyed a great year a year ago. It was a lot of fun. The work ethic was there. But that was the exception. To me, that was the exception. This is the norm.
See, I would say one thing. They've got five in a row at home. They've won four in a row at home. I would not be surprised if this group is given this homestand. Know what I mean? Because they have been so good on home ice of late.
Now, that said, what are they going to do? It's
exactly.
Not as though...
You can give them all you want because making a trade is not just as simple as saying, oh, yeah, we're doing the RB, and here you go. Let's just clean house.
But the notion of, well, get a goaltender in here, try and get some help.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Don't jeopardize Austin Matthews with some veteran goalie. Go get one this summer.
Now are they there?
Now, they can't do what Buffalo did last year, right?
Well, which Buffalo was way ahead of where this club was last year in terms of, like, breaking up. There's nothing on that roster.
They dumped even more to get
but I think,
up their chances.
Hey, Marcus Granlund has come in.
No, you know
got
what,
got a
though?
Goal. He went 5 of 7 in the faceoff dot. Good. Let him
play.
Yes, you need to be better at faceoffs in the NHL.
It's almost turned into what we talked about 4 years ago when it was like, get rid of these. They're not trying.
Tonga, Iginla,
yes,
Bollmeester,
get rid of all these guys. If they're not going to try, I would much rather watch Marcus Granlund. Who's going to try? I don't care. If the result's the same, I'd rather watch the effort than the non-effort.
Is Emil Poirier an NHL winger?
Let's find out. Absolutely, yeah.
Let's find out. Give him 50 games.
Derek Grant's on a one-year deal. Is he an NHLer? Let's find out.
Yeah.
I think we know exactly what a lot of these guys are on this team. What do we know about Mason Raymond? I think we know exactly what he is.
Tyler Weatherspoon, we're still not sure what you are.
Bring him up.
50 games. Ordeo, get up here. That's easy for me to say. And it would be the official signaling of the rebuild, the packing it in. And I know that Treliving won't do that.
No.
But in my heart of hearts, I believe that he knows that's the best thing to do.
Go ahead, Rhett.
Well, I'm just saying we're all anxious to see some change because we're kind of losing hope But and it's easy to get, oh, rebuild. Let's dig into it.
What's the to me, and to me, it's not about being negative.
No,
it's a good thing. If you embrace it,
doesn't mean that it's going to get it better.
No, but you know what? When you embrace it, it's what's good for the team. It's not about, well, let's try and lose. It's not about that. You've given this team an opportunity, and it's gone dreadfully wrong. They're not bad. They're last out of 30 teams.
Yes, but and I don't disagree, but you got to wonder how far you go. I mean, we can discuss it because, okay, well, how far do you go? I joked about Giordano trading him. Do you look at that? If this season continues and you, for all the praise that he had, it's very much a what have you done for me lately kind of world. What is this in, what is it, February of trade deadline, March? Are you looking at it going, oh, maybe we should be looking at a move?
It's easy to say get rid of the guys with the expiring contracts, right? Yeah. But beyond that, what do you do? That's a very good question. And for all the beating Gio's taken and the plus minus and all that, he's still been their second best defenseman this year. That's not saying much, but I mean, if you get rid of him, there's a lot of bad defensemen playing more.
But to the point saying, well, we don't care. We're in a rebuild, then that's what we're doing.
I would have him as one of my five untouchables.
He was just an example. I mean, you start going down that path, and it's that, holy. There's a lot of analyzing to be done.
Well, we can discuss the depths. I'll just to kind of put the finishing touches on this. Am I out to lunch, or do you agree?
It's going on for sure down there. That's the discussions for sure. And I tried to talk about last week when going into this road trip. Hey, it's not going to be 95 points to get in. You got a chance.
Oof. All of a sudden, Arizona's flying.
A week later?
Yeah.
85 seems pie in the sky.
Yeah, it's not going to be that. It's the Pacific teams have pulled the socks up.
No, you know what I mean? I mean the Flames and the number they're going to get to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the other thing I would say, veterans, yes. Anyone that's not named Bennett, Gaudreau, Monahan, Brody, yes. But also, this is Bob Hartley as well. He's had one good year in Calgary. This is year four. And I'm not saying he has to go, but I'm saying if you're doing an internal audit, he's going to be included in that.
721, your thoughts on the fan feedback line, 960-960 on your mobile phone as well. When we come back, dude, the best of the weekend from where we sit. Sportsnet 960, the fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Ryan Pinder. The Jim Rome Show. Steinberg on Hockey Central. The Big Show with Rob Kerr. And every game for your Flames. We are Calgary Sports all the time. Sportsnet 960, the fan. Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960, the fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Know someone whose quiet hard work makes hockey happen in your community? Nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960, the fan.
Judas Priest,
the Marina Rock.
My grandpa liked using that one as a curse.
Oh, yeah?
Well, Judas Priest. It's a cool grandpa.
Dick, wow, it is. You don't need to say. You're just waiting. So that
hang on. I just wait. Come on, here it comes.
Staring at you, Pinder.
I was hanging out with Sheldon Kennedy for a little bit this weekend, driving around back roads.
There's no gophers though. You can't. He's go
a shoot. Oh yeah. There's guys hunting though. And it's a bit of a name drop, but this is where it came from. Judas Priest came on the radio. We were like, yeah.
Two losers headbanging.
Yeah. Two 40-year-old. Manitoba Prairie Lugans.
Yes! Priest!
It's 7:31. We're going to continue the Flames conversation. 960-960 on your mobile phone. We, if...
Another thing coming. We got another...
we have made the probably unpopular declaration, but as tomorrow becomes the 1st of December, we have here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning officially committed to the rebuild.
Let's officially do it.
Well, I think we need to do something different. No. I think we have to do something, because that was, you know, are they in? Are you in? Are you buying? Are you? That was last year.
At least they out, we out. Maybe that.
We'll come up with something. But it's not going to be a playoff season for the Flames. And there's no shame in this. It's like, oh, you guys are so negative. No, this is a positive thing. You're moving forward. Was the playoffs fun? Yes. Beating Vancouver? Yes. But this team's not going to do it.
What a spin you are.
Yeah, you're saying like missing the playoffs, finishing last is great.
Yeah. It's a positive thing. No, don't get upset.
It's the, listen, it's the negatives. It's the, well, you know what, to me, and I sit here.
Five games.
I'm telling you, I'm not being negative. I'm being, you know what? I'm being real. I'm being honest. And if you don't believe me, you're not paying attention. You're not watching what's going on. It's not a bad thing, at least where I sit. I mean that. It's the same thing when people accused you, me, and Walker of being negative when we said, you got to move Jerome, you got to move Tanguy, you got to move Jabo, you got to get assets for these guys because you're not going to win with this group. And you know what? They had to do all three of them, didn't do them soon enough, and
didn't get much for assets.
They didn't win with that group. So what I'm saying, it's different this time. It's not that you need to get rid of anybody. I'm saying you're expiring contracts. I don't think you're re-signing Hudler, and I don't think you're re-signing Jones.
Russell?
I don't think you're re-signing him either.
Two goalies, see ya.
If you can move them and get something, yes. If you can play younger players, yes. Commit to the rebuild. That's all I'm saying.
You're not going to give them this homestand then, because I don't think they're good enough, but that said, boom, they've won four in a row at home.
Oh, stop. Dallas, the Rangers...
So point being, if you did have a good homestand, that would be an impressive, because who's coming in, that would mean you're playing some pretty good hockey. I don't like this club as it's formed to be a playoff team at all, but I would give them this stretch at home.
They're tied for 30th.
Stop. You're arguing over nothing because they'll
semantics.
Get...
This, they'll be there and I'll count.
They'll get the five-game stretch. It's not going to matter because it's not easy. You don't... Brad Treliving is not going into the office this morning and just going... You're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone, and we've got a hole.
Yeah, they can't do... It's not like they're going to do that in 1 week.
Right.
So, we don't need to argue that.
But we're right. It's just a matter of whether you do it now or... So you're not committing then. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think they're a playoff team at all. I just think, you know...
But you're giving them the five-game homestand. I just want to know, because I have committed to the rebuild.
All right. So is there a trophy for the first person to quit on the team? I'm confused what the race is about. But yeah, no, I don't think they're good enough. That said, I'm very curious to see how this homestand goes because they have played well on home ice.
Say it. I'm not in on the rebuild. Say it. Because you're not. You're dragging your feet.
They're clearly in year three of a rebuild.
Say it.
They suck.
You don't have to be in.
Are you in?
Wait for five games.
I am in with you. Remember, I just hate giving up on them at this point because if there's only one thing they've done well, and it's play at the Saddle Dome in the last month. That's it.
What's the one thing you like more than anything in the world?
My children.
Numbers. Ryan, look at the numbers. And what do they tell you? You trot out numbers all the time. You put faith in them. You believe in them. So what possible sequence of numbers or statistics would keep that light shining in your heart of hearts?
What would they have to do to get back in it? I mean,
as you sit here today, 30th, 30th, 29th, 30th, they're tied for 30th. What possible equation is out there that would say, well, another couple weeks?
You're right. They're not good. I'm with you.
Are you?
I am with you.
You don't need to be. Last year, I wasn't in with you two. You guys were in, and I...
Well, you were jinxy pants, that's
jinxy
why.
Pants,
yeah. I waited. Look at the time. It's time for Dude.
All right, listen up. It's time for Dude.
Dude.
Dude. With Boomer and Warner on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Dude. Brought to you by Steele's Cafe in the Executive Royal Hotel, home of Calgary's favorite Sunday brunch. Call for reservations.
It's time for Dude.
I like the other bed better.
Wait, do you want the other bed?
Please.
The Mexican bed?
Consistency's sake.
Well, I don't remember which one
it's entitled
which.
Bed.
Stand by.
That's the one right there.
All right. We take a look around the sporting or just around the scene that is life and find some people in this negative world that we live in a little positivity. I don't know who brings the negativity, but it's on us.
Of it.
It's on us to bring the positivity.
That's what you're known for.
Who wants to start?
ODB.
Picked him up. Start of the year.
You need not speak louder and be more deliberate. People cannot hear you.
Use your words.
ODB. Is that better?
Yes.
Anyways, the greatest receiver in the game today.
Ooh.
For sure, without a doubt. He highlight reel catches every week. Yesterday again, Giants, they suck. But Manning just lofts one up. Impossible catch, guy on him, going down one hand. Somehow snags it in. He is a pleasure to watch and worth the price of a ticket. Dude.
That's good. I like it.
I'd given up on him earlier this year, so I suppose he's owed an apology of sorts, or at least some props for an unbelievable Sunday. Sammy Watkins, how about a half for him?
Nice.
6 catches, over 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, circus all over the place. We're used to seeing this guy in the on the trainer's table more than on the field, but a monster day for Sammy Watkins, dude.
Dude.
Would you just shush?
He's on fantasy team.
Just let him, jeez.
Yeah, on the bench. That's.
I'm going to throw this one out there. We talked about it last week. Tyson Fury is the man's name. He was named after Mike Tyson by his father. Was a premature baby. Weighed 1 pound when he was born. He's now 6'9", close to 300 pounds. And he handed Vladimir Klitschko, heavyweight boxing, Klitschko's first loss since 2004. Klitschko had been the champ for 9 years, 222 days, and Fury comes in and wins a unanimous decision, winning the WBA, WBO, and IBF championships. 2004 is a long time ago. In this city, we know what that's all about. Mm. That was the last time Klitschko lost. We've got a new heavyweight champion in boxing, Tyson Fury. Dude!
Dude.
He doesn't look like he's in the best of shape.
6'9 to 300 pounds.
Well, yeah, he's a little, you know. He went the distance.
He did.
It's not marathon running, Rhett.
Would you like to?
I'm going to
hurry up.
There's a very astute, cunning, conniving general manager in our midst. He's one of the best in the game. You never want to invite him to your fantasy league because he will absolutely snake you. Boomer, you've done it to me again.
Boy. Oh, dear.
So dude.
Dude.
What did I do?
You.
I put in a waiver claim.
On my advice, knowing that I was going to get that guy.
See, that one doesn't bother me. The one when you mentioned in the room that you were going to add a guy and you got distracted by, like,
Pinder,
a bug on the wall.
He never mentioned Buck Allen's name. He said, geez, I wonder if I should do some waivers.
You're not on trial, Boom. It's dude. We have to keep moving on. Patrick Kane, a 19-game point streak. It's the longest for any American barn hockey player. How about 31 points over those 19 games? He leads the league with 37 points. I know he had some off-ice distractions, but on the ice, Patty Kane. Dude!
Dude.
Speaking of a less astute general manager, how about the GM who had Patrick Kane and decided to trade him and Jonathan Toews for Sidney Crosby?
Oh, I thought that all nice.
That might be a clean it up. It's, you know, it's 20 away from 8. We're going to break here so we can come back and talk to Elliot Friedman. That is dude. Huh? Dude. It's dude.
Brought to you by the Steel's Cafe.
Brought to you by Steel's Cafe.
Brought to you by
The thing. Are we gonna? Is it there? No. What are we gonna? No.
Elliot.
No.
Straight to break.
Next. All right. Break time. Sports at 960 to fan.
Broadcasting from the heart of downtown Calgary. 24/7 Sports. Sports
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Celebrate your rink's unsung hero and nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award worth $5,000. Learn more at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Morning hockey talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Celebrate your rink's unsung hero and nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award worth $5,000. Learn more at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We have a busy 8 o'clock hour coming for you. Derek Wills just after the top. Arash Badani will look back at the Grey Cup. Right now, 7:46 as we bring in our hockey insider.
Sportsnet 960 hockey insider Elliot Friedman for Eastside Kia. Unwrap a deal and save $3,000 on a 2016 Kia Sorento LX, including no charge, all-wheel drive. Pages 28-310, Barlow and 23rd, or eastsidekia.ca.
Good morning, Elliot. How was your weekend?
It was good. How was yours? You guys dried out yet?
Yeah, it's, well, we're professionals, Elliot.
Oh, of course. Excuse me. Well, that means you can do it without being dried out.
Yeah, it was a work trip. It was a work trip.
Which is pretty much bang on.
So we're here. Whether or not you buy into the fact, the notion of American Thanksgiving really suggesting whether or not you're in or you're out, I know you kind of don't buy in as much as some other people do.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in the greatest danger of missing now that they're out? Tampa Bay is not in. Winnipeg is not in. Anaheim is not in. Is there hope for those three?
I think there's hope for Anaheim because I don't know if anybody in that Pacific Division is scaring you too much. Although, you know, San Jose is an interesting one. If that's the way they're going to play, and they've been on a nice little stretch here, they start to scare you a little bit. Winnipeg worries me a lot. I really don't like the way they are playing. You know, Paul Maurice once said to me a couple weeks ago that he doesn't worry about the number of chances they give up. He worries about the quality of chances they give up. And the quality has been really good. It's interesting. I wonder if I could fill him full of truth serum. Would he regret not going Hellebuck back-to-back? I wonder if he gets a little bit of run as the Jets' starting goaltender here. The only thing that's really saving the Jets, at least at this point in time, is if you go back at Minnesota's record under Mike Yeo from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it's awful. I don't know why it is, but they're terrible in that month. And they've started off very poorly and blowing a 3-0 lead against Dallas the other night and losing in overtime. So they might just keep Winnipeg alive. You know, Tampa, I just find it hard to believe that they're not going to sort this out, although it's pretty interesting. Tyler Johnson getting injured again. I really do wonder if this is going to change anything in Stamkos' future because he's having trouble. I don't know if it's because he's not used to all the attention and it's kind of beating him down a bit, but you've got to be worried if you wanted to turn your team over to him and he can't stay healthy.
And just to double back on Winnipeg, what?
No.
Okay, I was just going to say, because they're, one way or the other, they're dealing with Ladd and Byfuglien and what to do there. This probably makes it easier, doesn't it?
It probably does in some regards. You know, Byfuglien, the issue is term. You know, I've heard the Jets' preference was to go 3 years, and if you're Byfuglien and this is your last big contract, you're not doing that. Ladd, I heard the issue was not term, that they were, if not agreed, that they were in the ballpark, but the issue was money. You know, I still do think, like, I really believe there's a deal to be made there between the Islanders and Jets for Hamonic. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I think there's something there. For me, the issue is, you know, what does Trouba want? This is the one contract that doesn't come up a lot, and I really do think is the big factor. You know, does Jacob Trouba want, what does he want? Because if the agent is Kurt Overhart, and Overhart's had some big asks before, it's the agent's job, and I'm really curious to see how much that contract affects. Everybody talks about Ladd and Byfuglien. to me, Trouba is just as big deal because he's as big a deal because he's heading into the end of his entry level contract.
If the Jets and Islanders hook up on a Tyler Myers for Travis Hamonic deal, who wins that deal?
Which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think that's the deal that the Islanders want to make. You know, and one of the reasons, I also am not sure that's the deal the Jets want to make. You know, the one thing about Myers is his contract was pretty front-loaded. You know, a lot of the biggest money, I think, was done early, which is sort of like Hamonic in the sense that Hamonic is 3 years at a good cap number, although his salary goes up to 4.9 the next 4 years. You know, Myers' deal, even though it was a long deal, it was heavily front-loaded, which is attractive to a team like the Jets that has money but isn't the wealthiest team. I'm not sure that's the deal. Like, I think the Islanders were offered Byfuglien and they said no, and I understand why, because Byfuglien's got no term left. I think they'd love to have Trouba, but the Jets aren't really there to do it. Myers, if it's happened, I can't say for sure it has or hasn't. I'm not sure that's the deal either team really wants to make, to be perfectly honest. You know, Hamonic is an edgier player than Myers. I think that might give you a bit of an edge in terms of getting him. But, you know, Myers is a solid player. He's going to be a solid player for a long time. He might not be the elite top-end defenseman that people were hoping he would be, but, you know, he's a good player.
And I'm just going to ask, I don't know if you know or not, to what extent have the Flames been kicking tires on Hamonic?
I do think they've kicked tires on him. I just don't think there's a direct match there. I think if the Flames are going to do this, it's going to be with another team. Same with the Oilers as it stands right now. Like, I'm one of the people who believes that the Islanders asked for Darnell Nurse and the Oilers are not willing to do it.
That's fair. Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to Tampa. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing from you is that you're thinking that they're ready to hand over the reins to Tyler Johnson?
Well, I believe, Rhett, that was if they weren't able to get Stamkos signed.
Oh, if.
Okay. Yeah, then Tyler Johnson's your guy, right?
I thought you were saying they don't mind looking at it and letting Stamkos go, and I was like, how can you, after 2 years, decide that Tyler Johnson is ready to replace a Steven Stamkos? But that's
I don't think they want to let Stamkos go, but I think there's a worry. I think the organization has two questions. One is Steven Stamkos wants to play center. Do Yzerman and Cooper consider him a center? That's number one. Number two, Steven Stamkos is going to cost you, you know, a lot of money, somewhere between $9 and $10 million, at least. You know, you look at Tampa, is that something they want to do? And you also have to look, Rhett, at what Tampa's got to deal with. They've got to deal with Bishop. They've got to deal with all the triplets. They've got to deal with Killorn. And they've got to deal with Hedman all over the next 2 years. And the thing about Hedman that makes him interesting is, how many defensemen of his caliber are hitting the market anytime soon? Zero. That drives his value up. And I just think that they might want to spend that money on Hedman more than they do on Stamkos. Like, to me, the whole Stamkos is the most fascinating story of the season. Here's a guy, all he ever wanted to be was a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He did not want to go anywhere. And we're months away. Now, if it still change, and I think he wants to be a member of the Lightning, and I think they still find a way to sort this out. But I look at this, and I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know what's going on here.
I wonder if the pinch point can't be solved by moving Ben Bishop. And as weird as that might sound, this is a very deep organization.
Well, I do think that's going to happen because they have the young goaltender behind him, Vasilevsky. I do think that's likely. But still, if Stamkos is between 9 and 10, where's Hedman going to land, Ryan?
Same spot.
I don't know if it'll be that high, but it's going to be high.
Yeah. 8?
Yeah, it could. I mean, if Subban got 9,
sure.
You know, Hedman could argue that he's 8 geez, if he wins a Norris, he could argue he's nine. But, you know, I mean, last year he was their best player in the playoffs. You know, like I said, there's no defenseman available. And even with two players in that number, you're in a crunch. Plus, you got to deal with Palat, you got to deal with Kucherov, you got to deal with Johnson, you got to deal with Kalorn. Like, I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot of things you have to deal with in a cap world where, you know, it's funny. I was talking to another GM on the weekend, and I said, you know, where do you have any preliminary indications of where you think the cap is going next year? And he says he doesn't know any teams that are planning on expecting anything more than $1 million. Hmm. So it's going to be tight.
Jonathan Bernier is having a heck of a season in Toronto, and in not the best way. He won 21 games a year ago, 26 year before that. Right now, 0-8-1. His save percentage is below 9. Goals against is 3.28. He's 27 years of age. Is he a bad fit for Toronto, or is he been overvalued, and is he a average NHL goaltender?
Well, I think, unfortunately for him, we're trending towards the latter, right? You know, the scary thing is, so there's two things here. Number one, he's signed next year in the $4 million range. So that's one problem. Number two, he's given up goals on the first or second shots a ridiculous amount of times. Saturday night, it was the second shot. You know, Toronto's out shooting Washington at 1.18-5, and they're down 2-1. You know, you can't have that. And tonight against Edmonton, they're giving Garrett Sparks, with Reimer hurt, they're giving Garrett Sparks his first NHL start. I mean, they were going to give Bernier this run here, and he couldn't hold it for two games. You know, I do think a lot of it's mental with him. You know, he's not a big guy. That's one thing, and this is now a big guy's position. But I do think there has to be a mental block. You know, I don't even know what to make of it, except that, you know, Bernier has always been determined to prove. He's got a bit of Henry Burris in him, like, you guys never believed in me kind of thing. But he can't hold on to the job. And, like, there was a time in L.A. where they thought he was going to be their future goaltender, not Jonathan Quick.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows you how far he's fallen. Right now, he can't hold a job for the Maple Leafs.
I just wonder if there's a team out there that looks at that and says, well, he was okay in Los Angeles, but it hasn't gone well in Toronto. That could be mostly his fault, but there's some players do struggle there. There's always a general manager who says, you know what, we can turn him around. And I wonder if he were to go on waivers, you know, I wonder if anybody would look at him, or even in a trade. Is there a reclamation?
Not at $4 million next year. You guys had a goalie at $600K who got on waivers and didn't get claimed.
Yeah. I just wonder, is there a reclamation project at all in Bernier?
Well, I think there has to be, but I just don't know who believes in it at that salary. Like, if you look at Bernier's history, when he was on the World Juniors, he started there as the starting goaltender, and Steve Mason took the job, and they won the gold medal. In L.A., he was going to be the guy, and Jonathan Quick took the job, and they won two Stanley Cups. And in Toronto, they got him, and he was going to be the guy, and he can't hold it. Like, they don't trust Reimer. They haven't trusted Reimer for years there. Now, the new regime might be different.
Yeah.
But the previous regime didn't trust Reimer, and he was beating him out this year until he got hurt. Like, I think you eventually you reach a point where you gain a rep as a guy you can't count on. And Bernier's right there. He is looking into the abyss. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know where it goes from here, because if this kid Sparks wins tonight, you know, Toronto, like every team in the league, or most of them anyway, have somebody in their organization, they say, we hope in 2 years this guy is our starting goalie. You know, Calgary has that in John Gillies. You guys hope in a couple of years, even though the injury has kind of hurt him here, you guys are hoping that he's your starting goalie. Toronto doesn't have that guy. Nobody knows who the Maple Leafs starting goalie is going to be in 2 years. And this kid, if he plays well tonight against Edmonton, he's going to get a chance to show he could be that guy. And then where's Bernier then? He's even worse in the spot.
We had a good chat about the Flames about 20 minutes ago. This is a club that's won once in regulation on the road, only three games all year. Opponents haven't got points off them. Their special teams are far and away the worst in the league. They're allowing more goals than anyone else. Where do you go from here if you're Brad Treliving? This does not look at all like the group you've had the last couple of years, at least in terms of the difficulty to play against meter.
Well, I think, you know, he's tried to make deals, but there's not a lot to be made out there. And we're getting close to the Christmas moratorium, and as you guys know, Burke has an even longer one. So he's kind of running out of time to do anything right now. I think he's tried to make moves, but I just don't think there's a lot. I think you guys have been in on Hamonic, but the match isn't direct. I'm sure you guys have been around on other things, but, you know, I think right now if you're making trades, you're probably taking on contracts that you don't like. I told you earlier a couple weeks ago, I'm sure that he could make a trade that we'd all look back in a couple of years and say, holy cow, what was that stupid idea? And, you know, you don't want to do that. Unfortunately, it looks as if like a lot of the things that went right last year are going wrong this year, and you have to weather it out.
I guess what we're saying, I'm just going to jump in. I guess what we're saying is, as we sit here, December 1st is tomorrow. They have to have become official sellers, correct?
I would think so. I just think again, Dean, that division, like. Do you look at that division and say you're out? If you were in the Central, you'd be out. If you were in the Metrosexual, you'd be out. You know, are you out in the Pacific?
Based on what I've seen, I would say it's a... Even what's the point total to get in the Pacific? Because it's not going to be a wild card. We said, 95, maybe 93. We're kind of crossing our fingers.
Even if it's 90.
I mean... What kind of a run are they going to have to go on? And like,
they're going to have to go on an incredible run. There's no question about that.
For a long time.
I don't think you're a seller yet because, you know, nobody can make deals right now.
Yeah, but that doesn't change
from their
philosophical standpoint.
It this way: I don't think you're making a short-term ad.
Yeah.
You know, put it that way. I think that's the best. You're not trading a second-round pick for somebody with no term, I don't think. You're not making that deal. But, like, who are you looking... Like, you know, we all know that... Now, I will tell you one thing. I'm betting that Brad Treliving is the kind of general manager who's saying, I'm not doing any contracts while we're going on a stretch like this.
Yeah. No,
so,
I just...
There's no way he's negotiating with a guy like Chris Russell. That, I think, is going on.
Because right now, I trust him because even last year when they were in the hunt for a playoff spot, he still traded Curtis Glencross away for picks, recognizing that we're probably not cup threats this year and we're not going to re-sign him. Let's get some assets. So I would think at this point, you've got to be looking at Hudler and David Jones and saying, boy, if we get anything that... is palatable, we have to seriously think about it, even though it's December 1st.
Yeah, I bet you he's in a situation like that. No question about that. Like, he's not handing out extensions to guys right now while they're... He's not rewarding anybody while things are going like this.
Finally, we do want to let you go, but what else are you hearing league-wide as we, like I say, we head into... I forgot all about that the trade moratorium. It's we're getting up on it here as we get into December.
Well, the league one is, the 18th or 19th, and Burke goes about a week early. You guys have about 10 or 11 days. I do think he's looked. I just don't think there's matches out there. You know, an interesting one, the NHL was in Winnipeg on the weekend. I don't know if they stayed for the game, but they were definitely there to check out the outdoor site. And, you know, Winnipeg is one of those teams that's asked for a Heritage Classic, and maybe we're looking at something like that. The other one, too, is I know Toronto had asked for the All-Star Game in 2017. Like, they want everything. They're going to get the Outdoor Classic, I think. And, also they wanted the All-Star Game. L.A. is bidding for the All-Star Game that year, and it wouldn't surprise me if they got it. Even though it's Toronto's 100th year, it's also those expansion teams' 50th. And I think the NHL would like to have them be part of the celebration, too. You know, move wise, you know, guys, like, honestly, I don't know. Like, every guy I ask tells me things are pretty quiet. And I just don't know what to make of what's going on out there. It sounds like guys are really having trouble pulling off trades.
Yeah. Elliot, thanks, man. Went a little bit long, but we appreciate it. Have yourself a good week.
No worries, guys. Have a great week. I know you'll be celebrating Edmonton's Grey Cup victory out there.
We're right up very to our ears in it. Yeah, we're very excited. Thanks, Elliot.
Take care, guys.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Elliot Friedman for Eastside Kia. Unwrap a deal and save $3,000 on a 2016 Kia Sorento LX, including no charge, all-wheel drive. Pages 28-310, Barlow and 23rd, or eastsidekia.ca.
We are after 8, which means we're a little bit back of Derek Wills, but we'll get right to him after a short timeout here. It's Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Flames are back home after their trip to Arizona and California. It's the Dallas Stars at the Dome on Tuesday night. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey hits the air and goes online at 6 p.m. Flames warm-up live from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Pat hosts with Peter and Derek. Play-by-play of the Flames and Stars goes at 7 p.m. Right after the game, it's post-game hockey talk and the overtime call-in show. Flames and Stars right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you in part by the Alberta College and Association of Chiropractors and Rebuild Homes.